who is here personally, for me personally. You came for everyone who is here personally, for everyone who's going to hear this message. You came for them personally, Lord. What a beautiful thing, how much you've loved us. And so tonight, Lord, as we look to your word, just once again, give us clarity, give us insight. Father, give us ears to hear what your spirit would speak to us, your church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, saints, if you have a Bible, please open it to Luke chapter 2. If you don't and you want a Bible, simply raise your hand. We'll get you a Bible. If you don't own a Bible, simply keep it as our gift to you so you can continue to grow just in your relationship with the Lord. Where we find ourselves here in Luke chapter 2, it's a common passage. You know, we know this every year. We kind of go through this. And so for, 25 years, I've taught on this passage. I've taught on this evening, and yet we're always looking at it from a different angle. Now, think of it this way. You guys understand the event that has taken place. You know at this point that, Mary and Joseph have gone into Bethlehem. There was no room for them at the inn, and because of that, they let him go to the manger. Now, keep in mind that the manger that is there in Bethlehem is not the sanitized manger that you and I think of when we look to a little wooden barn and a little, thing. Hey, keep in mind that what the manger probably was is this. It was probably a hewn out cave. And in it, the trough also would be just a section of the cave that wasn't hewn out. So you'd have this little trough in there, and that's what you'd feed your animals in. And so when Jesus was placed in the manger, when he was placed there and he was born in that manger, keep in mind it was probably a cave, and it was probably a trough that was hewn out of stone. And so, of course, you put on the straw and everything, and that's where he was laid. So you know that he went and he was born in Bethlehem. You know that these angels came and spoke to the shepherds. Now, I want to read to you just that portion so that we can kind of have a grasp on what we're talking about. It says here in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they," that is the shepherds, "were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.'" You guys are familiar with this event. You understand that here the shepherds are going to receive a word from the Lord. And I want to just ask you this question to kind of ponder through this. If you have the most important and wonderful news to share, you personally, who would you go to first? Who'd be the first person that you go to? And me personally, I think it'd be the people closest to me. This is the people that I know that love me. They've been through the ups and downs. They know me, who I am. And yet they love me. Those are the people that I would share with. And it would be those who were closest to me. Some people may never hear the news outside of that, but those would be the first. And I think what's interesting is that God has news that he wants to share, and this is news that's been from before he even made the world. Before he even made the world, there was already an understanding that Jesus Christ would come as a man, that he would go to the cross, he would die, and there was a plan for the salvation of men. And through that, keep in mind that he is now about to start this plan, Jesus now coming to earth in motion. And so God is about to declare for the very first time that the Savior has come into the world. For the first time ever. And think about this, as he's about to come, the angels don't just give a message to these shepherds, but I want you to note something as we look at this text. The angels also give an invitation. And I love this about this passage, because it's not just here's a word and do what you want, but it's an invitation. I want you to go. I want you to find. Now, the question is this. Why shepherds? Now, think about this for just a second, and I just want you to ponder this, because think about what it says here in verse 13. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. A multitude. Now keep in mind that this is a really, really big choir. So God has all these angels in preparation. And so you got all of these angels that are there in heaven. They're about to launch out to sing this song that they've been waiting to sing to the world. And that song is glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. That they've been waiting to sing it. So keep in mind that what begins to happen is this. The curtains open. And what they're looking down is this. Shepherds. And just a few of them. Now you think about this. You got a multitude of heavenly hosts singing to just a couple of shepherds. Now I was blessed this year that you know, our children have already gone through that phase. Now our grandchildren are going through that phase. And one of our granddaughters had a Christmas concert. And within it, what happens is that they're waiting, and all of a sudden it opens up, and you got a room filled with eager parents and grandparents just waiting to just film them and you know, and get their pictures. And so, and my granddaughter's looking, sees me, waves at me, and I grab this picture of her waving at me, and there's a little boy in front of her that is not focused on me. He's got his fingers in his ears, and he's making this crazy face, and he's doing it to everybody. And it's like, I'm trying to get my daughter to wave, get a good picture, and now I got to crop this kid out somehow. But keep in mind that there's just this room that's filled, a room that's filled with people who know them and love them. And now these angels in preparation, they go, a couple of shepherds and a few sheep. Now think about this. I want you to look at perspective for just a second, because perspective would be this. If you have news, this is this monumental, you want as many people to hear about as possible, yet God says that this news is so important, I need a multitude of angels to declare it to just a few. You understand, if a few deserved a multitude of angels, because this is the message, it's amazing that how important was that message. If it took a multitude of angels for just a few shepherds, I could see if there was, you know, two or three angels in all of Bethlehem, that'd be one thing. Maybe go to Jerusalem, maybe have a couple dozen, but there's a multitude in the middle of nowhere, there in the field where these shepherds are keeping watch over their flock. And now I'm thinking, why shepherds? Why shepherds? Why not kings? Why not rulers? You know, because you think about it, a king could have a proclamation with the message, hear ye, everybody gather around. I have some news to tell you. But what is the king going to do? He's going to say, look at what I was able to do with my power and my authority. You understand? He's going to take credit for something. I, because of who I am and my position and my power, my authority, I made this proclamation and I made sure everybody was here listening. And yet we see this here, the pride and that personal confirmation of look at who I am, that I get to be the one that, of course, God would choose me, because I'm the one that can gather the most people around. And I'm thinking, he didn't want someone to take pride. He didn't want someone to take credit. Look at what I've done to get this message out. Do you understand that God goes to the most unassuming place to just a few to say, and I'm going to get this message out, but no one can take credit except what? The glory goes to God, not to a king, not to a ruler. And then I was thinking, you know, why the shepherds? Why not religious leaders? And so why not the priests? Why not the high priests? Why not the religious leaders who have been waiting around for hundreds of years since the message came that in you, Bethlehem, is going to come the Messiah, and all these that they've been waiting for the Messiah to come. You know, just read Matthew 2, the first 8 verses. You know that they were anticipating. And so as you come through, we begin to see that they were waiting, but understanding, but while they were waiting, they weren't waiting for the Messiah. These religious leaders were doing what? They were elevating themselves. There was a pursuit of knowledge, but there wasn't a pursuit of glorifying God. And so it's interesting that when a priest would be saying, why don't you come and you proclaim it? The priest would say, of course, I've earned it. I've earned the right to declare the message. The message that the Savior would be born, who else but a priest would be the one to do that? But yet, what would he do? Pride, once again. And then the glory wouldn't go to God. The glory would go to the priest because he could say, you know, I'm the one who is worthy enough to proclaim this message. And so you think about it. God is saying, I want innocence. I want innocence. I want someone who really doesn't think that I deserved to be the one to give this message. And the shepherds are like, dude, I love the response that when the angel came, and it says this at the end of verse 9, they were greatly afraid. They were terrified. And so what I love is this. Here, God in his infinite wisdom, he chooses someone that is so unassuming, someone that in the rankings of society is somewhere along the bottom. And he says, you. And not all of them, just a couple. Just a couple. But I want you to note this, that after they're afraid, he calms their fears. But then I want you to see something. And this is something that although I've taught this passage, I've never seen it in this way. And I wanted to share this with you here this evening, that this message that was given to the shepherds, and it was an invitation as well as a message, I want you to see something. I want to read to you verse 10, 11, and 12 one more time. I want to read this, but I want to stress one word that's used again and again and again. It says this in verse 10. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you. Do you understand? The angel doesn't say, I bring tidings. Now, the angel could have said that. I bring news. And I'm like, yeah, that would have made sense. But he says, I bring you news, personal. Do you understand? God has made this personal to the shepherds. Not just I'm bringing news, but I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy, which is going to be for all the people. You personally. And then in verse 11, or he does the same thing, for to you. Do you understand? Not just, hey, there's going to be a child born today in the city of David who's Christ. Not a child is born, but a child is born what? To you. Now, I love the Holman and the Holman. I love their translation because Holman says a child is born for you. Personal. You understand? This is not a generic message. These shepherds, that these multitude of angels are proclaiming this incredible glory to God, that he gives a message to these shepherds personally. And then verse 12, it says this, and this will be a sign to you. You will find. Do you understand? It doesn't say this is just going to be assigned to whoever wants to know. This is going to be assigned to you. You will find. It's a beautiful, personal invitation to these shepherds. And so although he could have simply said in verse 10, he said, listen, do not be afraid. I bring good tidings. He doesn't say that. I bring you good tidings. This is personal. And so he gives these shepherds this personal message. The message wasn't for just the kings and for the religious leaders. The message was for them. Do you understand that they could have given the message? There's going to be a child. It's like, well, okay, well, it's not for me. No, it's for you. No matter where you think you are on society's rung, this message is for you personally. And then he says what? I'm giving this to you, but understand this. This message eventually is for everyone. And there is no one who's excluded from this message. But I love the fact that he comes to these shepherds and he specifically went to the shepherds at the low end of society to give them this incredible news, this incredible declaration. And understand that it was for the shepherds personally. And keep in mind that not only was this message for the shepherds personally, I believe this with all my heart, this message was for me. Personally, and I can tell you this, the message is for you personally. It was crafted just for you. that God wants you to know that, hey, listen, there is going to be this good news, this good tidings. Good news is simply this. The words mean gospel. Gospel means good news. And there's these good tidings, this good news that God has, and this message is personal for you because it's for all people. Now, he goes to the shepherd saying, I don't care where you are, Cincinnati, I want you to know this message is for you. So what's important is don't be alarmed and don't be afraid of this God. Do you understand? We think of God and we think of, watch out because he's big and he's bad and he likes to send down brimstone and fire. So be careful with him. And all of a sudden, God says, wait a second, I want you to understand that when it comes to this, that he's given to you what? As a personal gift. And so it says here, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. Verse 11, for there is born to you, or I believe the proper sense is born for you, this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now again, the angel simply could have said, there is born this day, there is going to be a Savior today. But he doesn't say that. The Savior is for you. You understand how it's a personal message. And I love the fact that all of a sudden we see that here, what great news this would have been if he simply would have said, a child's going to be born, and the Savior's coming. That's great news. But then when he makes it personal, he says, this child is born for you. This child is now for you. And all of a sudden, now it's incredibly personal. And I want you to understand, this gospel message, the proclamation, the invitation is personal. It's for you. It's been said that God doesn't have grandchildren. He has only children. I will be his child. My children will be his child. My grandchildren will be his child. All children, they have to make a personal commitment to him themselves. And I think it's so important that when it's a personal gift, think about this, Christmas, right? You got a present underneath the tree, and it has the wrappings, it has the bow, and it's beautiful, and someone picks up that present, he hands it to you, and they say what? This is for you. No one else gets this present but me. Whatever's in there, I don't have to share unless I want to. The present is for me, and it's personal. And then I love the people who know me, because there's some people, you know, just here's a generic whatever, and it's like, thank you for the generic whatever, and I'll find a place to, you know, place it. But then there's things that are personal, things that they know me, and I guarantee you that the gift is going to mean something, and it's going to be used. But that's what happens when they hand you the gift, and they say, you know what, this is for you. It means what? It's personal now. And especially when they know you and they go, I really needed this. And you know what God does? He recognizes that every single one of us are lost in our sin. We're doomed. We're separate from him. He says, I've made a way for you to come to me. I've given you this incredible gift called salvation. And so we see here, this is what the gift is. He says, this child is going to be born for you this day. He is a Savior. And then it goes on to say that he is the Christ and he is the Lord. Savior means he's a Messiah. He's the one that is going to save us from our sins. He's the one that's going to redeem us. But on top of that, he says not only is he the Savior, but now we see that he's the Christ. And so that points out what? In the Greek, it means he's the anointed one. That he's going to be the one that is guided by the Holy Spirit to do the work that needs to be done. And then he's the Lord. So we understand now why Isaiah said, what? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. There in Isaiah 9:6. And then, of course, in chapter 7:14, it's what? You're going to have this child and you're going to name him Emmanuel, which is what? God with us. God is going to come. And so it's absolutely amazing that we see here that this child is going to be born for them personally. That's what the angels declare. This child is born for you. And you're looking around and thinking, me? I'm not a king. I'm not a religious. No, I'm a nobody. Yes, but to God, you are special. To God, you are somebody. Why? Because he created you. And he doesn't make mistakes. He created you for a purpose, and that purpose is first so that you can tune into him to understand what the greater purpose is for his kingdom. And so I love what the Lord does is he comes to the shepherd and says, I have a plan, but it's for you. And then in verse 12, he says this, and this is going to be a sign. So you have to understand that this message is going to include an invitation. In verse 12, he says, and this is going to be a sign to you. You will find. You understand? He says, you're going to go and you're going to look and you're going to find. And so what happens when you're handed a gift on Christmas and they say, this is for you, and you put the gift down, is it really your gift? Do you understand? If you just stick it back under the tree, it's like, okay, well, it is yours, but have you really taken possession of it yet? No, when someone hands you a gift, they said, this is for you, what's the first thing you do? You tear off the bow, you tear off the wrappings, and then you look and say, this is for me. Now keep in mind, you might be like me, and I used to frustrate my kids all the time because they were wrapping up these things, and I would literally take each piece of tape off individually, slowly, painfully, slowly. They're like, come on, Dad, come, just tear that. Like, hang on, I'm getting it. And it would just be a slow and tedious thing. And so why did I do that? I'm Dad. And I have to make a statement that it's going to be something different. And so there was even times that they would come and help me tear. Help me tear. Like, you've got to open this. We want to see you open it. Of course, you open it and thank you for the box. No, there's something in the box. And so you go through the whole thing. So keep in mind, if you give me something, I'm a horrible person to get a gift for, especially on Christmas. But think about this. You have to do something with it, even if it's slow and tedious. Even if it's just barely getting into it, you've got to eventually open it. The wrappings have to come off. And so when God gives a gift, you have to appropriate the gift. And he's given you a gift of salvation, but you have to accept it. You've got to take it. You've got to do something with it. And this is what the disciples are doing. All of a sudden, they're handed a gift, and they've accepted this gift because what they said in here in verse 12, you will find. You understand, you're going to go, you're going to be looking, and so there's two things that we see here. They're going to, you have to open the gift, you have to use the gift, or what? It's really not your gift. And so when we look to this, we begin to see here that the shepherds, they could have given this message, and they could have been given it without an invitation. Do you understand? There's going to be a born Savior today. Great. But now the Savior's for you. Even better. But now what? Now go and find it. Now go and confirm it. Confirm that this child is born for you. And so they're wanting the shepherds now to take action in this. It's an invitation to come and see the gift. And I love what the Lord does because all of a sudden they could have been given this message without an invitation. And God could have been told us, hey, there's a Savior. There's a Savior. But you know what God does? He says, I brought my son, God, the son, to earth. And now he's both the 100% God and 100% man. But I sent him to earth, and it's for you. Go and verify that he's for you. Go and search. Go and see. And keep in mind, he's not going to do it where you can't find it. Do you understand? He said, you're going to go, and you're going to see this. You're going to find it. He's made it easy for everyone to recognize this gift. And amazingly, you come, you're going to find it, and then what happens is, he says, there's going to be a verification, there's going to be a sign. How do you know this God has come to earth as a man? How do you know the sign? And the sign is this. He says, and I find it interesting, you're going to find this babe, verse 12, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. So think about this. God is going to be wrapped up in a cloth. He's going to be in a cave, wrapped up in a cloth, and in that cave, he's going to be put upon this slab. That's how you know the God-man, who he is. Now think about this, and I love this, because it's one thing to see the child in this cave. And keep in mind, the cave is what? It's borrowed. They don't own it. It's not his. They're like, there's no room at the inn, but we can give you this manger for a little while. He just used it. And I wonder, I would be curious to know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, was he in that cave for 3 days before they found a home? Because I'll tell you what, I do believe that if you want to know who the God-man is, that not only was there the man wrapped in cloth and laying there upon a slab as an infant, I know this to be true, that the same man was wrapped in cloth as an adult after he died on the cross and was laid in a cave, another borrowed cave. Another cave. This one called a tomb, not a manger. And he was there, and he was 3 days and three nights. I was like, I don't need it anymore. We're good. Thank you for loaning it to me. And so note what happens. I think this is a sign. It's the sign for the shepherds that you're going to do it. But I'll tell you what, the same sign holds true for us. The one who was wrapped after he died on the cross and laid into a borrowed cave. That all of a sudden, he's the one. He was born for you. And understand this, he died for you personally. And I think what an incredible thing to see what begins to happen. And so all of a sudden, there's a confirmation of the sign. The confirmation of a sign is you got to look for the sign, verify the sign. And I want you to know that the sign is the same sign for you and I today. He was a little older, same sign though. Borrowed cave, wrapped up. And then eventually he doesn't need that anymore. And so when he does this, now notice what happens in verse 15 of Luke chapter 2. All of a sudden, so it was when the angels had gone away from them to heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Let's go. Let's act on it. What an amazing thing these shepherds do. Let's act on it. Let's do something about this invitation. And I like what verse 16 said. So they came with haste. You understand? It wasn't like, okay, they didn't do this package like I do my package with the kids, the grandkids. I am slow and tedious. Now, granted, there are some people who are slow to come to know the Lord. It takes them years to finally get this. But eventually what? They're like, I'm going to get it open, and I'm going to receive. And there are some people who literally wait until their deathbed. But they're open, and they're saved. There's others who simply say, you know, I'm just going to tuck it back under the tree. I'll get to it, or I'll get around to it. Nah, work on it. Start working on it. And if you're really wise, you're going to be like the shepherds and like little kids. They're going to have that and just rip it open. Make haste. Figure out what's in that. Know what that gift is. And so as we look to this, now it says in verse 17, when they'd seen him, they made widely known the saying, which was told them about the child. God uses these shepherds now to say, I want to share with you what God has given to me and what he's given to you. And so they begin to proclaim this message. And I just love the fact that we see that all can come, all can believe, all can receive this gift and amazingly realize that Jesus came for you personally. He came for you personally. This is a personal invitation to come and see and experience this great gift of God that what? A savior, salvation. Come and experience salvation. And I'll tell you what, if you've experienced this, rejoice in your salvation. And then what? Share with someone else this incredible gift. Share with someone else that they say, you know what, I want to tell you this one thing here on Christmas. You think this gift is something? God has given us the greatest gift. And this gift is personal to you too. If you want it, it's yours. You don't have to be a king or a ruler in order to have it. You don't have to be this religious guru and high ranking in your religion to have it. You can be the lowest part of society, and this message is still for you. The gift is still for you, and God wants you to know. And he doesn't want you to come and be afraid of this God in which there in Exodus 8, 19 and 20, the smoke and the fire, the quaking, the lightning. And they went to Moses. Moses, you go for us. We want nothing to do with this God on his hill. And God's going to say, how about a baby? How about a baby? Can you come to a baby? There's nothing to be afraid of there. And so he wants to make it what? I want to be approachable. And God does. So he becomes a man. And so it's just an amazing thing that I just wanted to share with you just just tonight that God has made this personal. It's a personal invitation. Yes, it's a message, but it's a personal invitation to me and to you and to every one of us. Oh, Father, we rejoice in your wisdom and the truth that we, like the shepherds, have received this beautiful and personal invitation. An invitation in the glorious news that the Savior has come. Jesus Christ has been born for us. And he was born for us. He would die for us. And then he would rise again. And we would, Father, just rejoice in this. So help us to respond to this incredible personal gift that you've given. Father, if there's people that are tuning in that have never received you, Father, just let them know that the gift is there. You're handing this gift of salvation to them. And all they have to do is to receive it, accept it, make it personal to them. Father, we stand in awe and wonder knowing that we have been given this incredible gift. We've been given this message. And who are we, Lord? Who are we that we haven't earned it? We haven't deserved it. And yet you gave it to us anyways. And so we just thank you. We thank you that you've given us eternal life through this child who was born. That this child, the son who was given, Emmanuel, God with us. And so continue to knit our hearts to you this evening and especially tomorrow as we celebrate just the incredible gift, Lord, that Jesus, you are the reason for the season. And thank you for just all the beauty that's within this season, Lord, all the celebration of who you are and what you've done. So continue to knit our hearts to you and this gift. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all the saints of God said, amen. Amen.